To the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob and Yart Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. We have a new meme on our page on homosexuality, kgov.com/homosexuality. I got to share that with you. It's from Reddit. We also have pro-abort audio, 2 minutes, where a pro-abort admits that abortion is killing and doesn't care. We'll analyze that. And then the Grinch who stole 9/11 compensation funds. The Grinch who stole 9/11 compensation funds. And I don't mean George W. Bush. I don't mean the federal government. I don't mean Rudy Giuliani. I mean me. I'm going to be the Grinch. Are there any other talk show hosts in the country right now who are willing to make the argument against what has been in the news this week, that the 9/11 first responders have been treated terribly and are suffering because the government is not paying for their medical needs? So I'm going to make an argument that not only addresses them in particular, but the general situation we find ourselves in when there is some type of crisis, or perhaps not even a crisis, but there are people who are harmed in some way and they're looking to the federal government or some other level of government to meet their needs. And typically, they're not satisfied with whatever help may be available. So we're going to talk through that first. The meme. Okay, this is from Reddit. Someone, it just dawns on this Reddit user that there's something weird about the letters LGBT. Now, you're supposed to add other letters to the end of that, but that's the most common. LGBT, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender. And that's weird, right? Because aren't lesbians gays? And aren't they all homosexuals? Can't you just call them H and just cover the whole bunch of them, the whole pile of them? But somebody noticed that there's something weird with LGBT. So he posts this. Wait a second. Someone explain this. If the B in LGBT stands for bi, doesn't that mean there's only two genders? So a Reddit administrator comes on, and the next thing you see is, you've been banned from participating in LGBT. Brought to you by the letter B? That's hate speech. That is a hateful use of the letter B. So you've been banned. So, yeah, you ask a question, and these are the thought police who've said, for many years, we just want to be left alone. And here on Bob and Yart Live, we have warned since we've been on the air, beginning in 1991, long time ago, 28 years ago, that in the public square, biblical Christianity and homosexuality are mutually exclusive. One or the other will be in the closet. And so the homosexuals, you know, they've replied, no, really, we just want to be left alone. Oh, yeah. And you better bake us a cake or we'll put you in prison if we could. So, it is pretty funny. When you have a worldview that is accurate, then everything in the world supports your worldview. When you have a belief system that's false, let's say the Big Bang. The Big Bang is getting clobbered from every direction. They just did more incredible research on turning energy into matter, which is what they say the Big Bang was all about. That's what happened. That's where all the matter of the universe came from. In 20 minutes, they say, The energy of the Big Bang made all the matter of the universe. They deny that God could make the universe in 6 days, but they think that the Big Bang made all the matter of the universe in about 20 minutes. But if energy is turned to matter, then half of all that will be antimatter. That's how it works. That's how it works in theory and in the lab at an accelerator at CERN. When they do this, they find out that for every electron produced from energy, when you're converting energy to matter, equals mc squared. And the c squared is just a conversion factor. So energy equals matter. For every electron that is created from energy, you get a positron, which is the same as an electron, only the opposite electrical charge. It's positively charged instead of negatively charged. For every proton, you get an antiproton, and so on. That's the way it works. And so if the Big Bang were true, then half of the universe, half of all the stars, half of every galaxy, every other planet should be antimatter, made of antimatter. But none of that is real. That's all fiction. The universe is made of matter. It's not half made of antimatter. And that is powerful evidence against the Big Bang. So if your worldview is accurate, then you'll find there'll be things that are mysteries, things you don't understand. But the more accurate your worldview and the more you are correctly observing reality, the more reality will support your worldview. And if you have a worldview that's absurd, that's false, that's harmful, that's dangerous, then you'll find that everywhere you turn, you will find contradictions. And so that's one thing that's neat about the Big Bang theory. The theory itself makes many predictions, and those predictions have been falsified in grand fashion. Just Google Big Bang predictions. If you find NASA first, I'll eat my hat. But if you find NASA first, I'd be shocked because we belong first, right? On that list, Real Science Radio, our Friday program. We should be first if you Google Big Bang predictions. That's an astronomy search term. That's not a creationist search term. It's not a crank search term. It's a mainstream astrophysics cosmological search term, Big Bang predictions. And out of hundreds of thousands of web pages that are related, Google has ranked our article on that topic number one. We also have a video on it. It's on that page. Just Google Big Bang predictions and click on the Real Science Radio number one. It's at our website, kgov.com. Okay, so homosexuals, they have a belief system that's invalid because Jesus told us that God made us male and female, and that was before mankind knew that in our DNA we had a Y and an X chromosome, and a Y and an X means you're a male, and two X chromosomes mean you're a female. Yet Jesus, when he said things, since he's our creator God, he knows these things. And he knows that at conception, you have a little boy or a little girl. And when he talked about the global flood, Jesus knew there was a global flood. He observed it happening. He played a role in it. And so today, we find fossils of marine creatures on the tops of the world's major mountain ranges. Now, mankind didn't know that back then. Mankind didn't know that, but Jesus knew that. And he knew that this evidence was there. If men wondered or doubted, they could just look and they could see the truth. So the truth is that we are made male and female, and the mentally ill school districts in the U.S. that are banning words like boys and girls, you know that? They're banning words like boys and girls. In North Carolina, Charlotte Mecklenburg schools, banning words like boys and girls. We warned on this program back in the 90s that schools across America had prohibited the use of the word marriage. Most Christians were delusional, focused on the family, spent decades giving parents a false sense of security. Sure, you could send your kids to public school. It's a good way to save money, says Dave Ramsey. Yeah, it's a great way to save money at the cost of your child's eternal soul. Hey, but what means more, right? Money or your child's salvation? Not all kids who go to public school end up going to hell. But I tell you, when the school has one of its agenda items to undermine the parent's authority, and if the child wants a hormone treatment against the parent's wishes, guess what the school will fight for? If the child wants an abortion against the parent's wishes, they won't fight for it. They'll just bring the girl, the mother, the young mother, to Planned Parenthood during school hours so the parents don't even know. If the child wants some kind of medical treatment, guess what the schools and the medical community will do? They'll fight for the child to have authority over the parents. So our public schools are dangerous. They're officially godless. And please, we've been saying on the air for decades, please immediately get your kids out of public school. The best for your child is to be homeschooled. That's the absolute best. But the worst is to be public school. That's the worst. Playing hooky is not so bad when your kids go to public school. Playing hooky, even though that's incredibly dangerous. What's even more dangerous is the curriculum that they're pouring into your child's mind. Okay. Now, since I'm in such a great mood, why don't we go to the Grinch who stole 9/11 compensation funds? Why don't we go to that? Let's start with that, because the criticism is, and the desire for billions of dollars beyond what's already been designated or spent, is that the first responders to the 9/11 attack, the murderous Muslim attack that killed 3,000 Americans, you know, equivalent basically to Pearl Harbor. We made that point early on in that first week that this was our Pearl Harbor. And we also pointed out while the attack was still unfolding on the air that, no, this was not Palestinians. They couldn't put this together. But that this was Osama bin Laden and Al-Qaeda. That's what this was. And sure enough, and by the way, that day, and then the following day, we presented the Christian response to 9/11. And here we are, these many years later, and we've gone back to that every few years and asked, has this withstood the test of time? And it sure has. If you are curious of that, just Google Christian response to 9/11 or go to our website, kgov.com/9/11. You'll find it. Okay, so the first responders, people who ran into those buildings when they were on fire, when they were collapsing, the horror of it all, they're heroes. And we should do what we can do to help their loved ones who were left behind, for those who have been killed, those who were injured, to help with their injuries, and so on. The first responders has been expanded to include the people who worked at Ground Zero for years on the cleanup. So the first responders includes contractors who work for contracting companies hired by the government to clean up the site. And of course, there's going to be a lot of toxic fumes and dangerous chemicals. And of course, right, everyone, children know that. Children in public school even know that it's going to be an environment harmful to your health. Okay, so what do we do about all this? Well, think about the cost of any need, the price to meet any need, right? What happens to the cost of any need as there's an increase in the money available for that need? What happens to the cost of the need? Well, the cost of the need increases to match whatever amount is budgeted for that need. So think of education. I mean, generally speaking, we're going to do an interview with dual PhD Dr. Jerry Bergman on academia in America. And he admits what we've said on the show. He's got two PhDs. He taught at the college level for 40 years. And he admits what we've said for all these years, that education should be among the least expensive services that we provide for one another, education. Except where you need very expensive technological equipment and so on, education is primarily a book and a pen and paper. And nowadays, you know, you might need a laptop. But it should be especially inexpensive compared to the other services we provide for one another, like preparing food, for example, or making clothes and so on, building homes. Education should be incredibly inexpensive, but regardless of how many tens of billions of dollars, hundreds of billions of dollars over time, taxpayers pump into the educational budget, regardless, it's never enough, and the amount of money that would be enough is effectively infinite. There is no end to how much money would be enough. Many people go broke partly because of their taxes. If taxes were doubled, with most of that going to education, it would not be enough. It would never be enough. And that's true across the board. Veterans Administration. Sure, have we mistreated veterans? Sure. Is it a terrible scandal? Absolutely. Should we have a love and great respect for veterans, people, and especially those who've given their lives for us so that we can enjoy a significant degree of freedom in this country? Of course, that debt of gratitude is just stunning. You know, ultimately, it's the one who gave his life so that we could all be free, but most people will ridicule him or ignore him, reject him. But those who are wise enough and humble enough to say, Jesus, thank you for what you've done for me. Thank you for giving your life so that I could be free, so that I could live, so that I could have eternal life, be forgiven of my sin, enjoy salvation, so that I can fellowship with you, with God, the Godhead, the Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and with all those who love the Lord forever and ever. Thank you for dying for me. But likewise, we should also be thankful, incredibly grateful, to those who've given their lives, those who've been injured, defending us and our liberties. Thank you, men and women who've done that. Thank you. But so then we come up with money to provide for veterans, and regardless of the billions of dollars spent, it will never be enough. It will never be enough, ever, never be enough. And so there will always be people who, let's say it's people who are on, you know, we used to call it food stamps. So they get money from the government every month to buy food, for housing, for health care, and so on. And generally, do you find that people are grateful when they receive those services? No, I've gone out in the early years of Bob Benyert Live, and I made it a point to go food shopping with people on welfare, people getting food stamps. And I was really stunned. I mean, I knew what to expect, but it was still stunning because this one gal, her and her three kids, she filled two shopping carts of food that was so much better than the food that my wife and I would get for our kids. So much better. Fresh strawberries, beautiful, big. Oh, it's so delicious. They look so good. And two big plastic bags full of fresh strawberries. Now, that's wonderful. Isn't that neat that a family could have those? But when you ask do you receive enough, not only is it no, but there is a bitterness and an envy toward the people who are paying for that food. There's a bitterness and an envy. And this will be there regardless of how much money is given to people in this misguided compassion. It will just be there. In fact, the more money you give to people from the federal dole, the more money you give from others by force through tax dollars, transfer of wealth, the more you will increase class envy. It's a systematic way of getting people to violate God's Ten Commandments, because God said, do not covet your neighbor's goods. And socialism and every social program is a recipe for increasing covetousness, lust, hatred of one's neighbor, and being bitter because the people giving you are not giving you enough. Isn't that something? And so if people fight in a war, the Vietnam War, and Agent Orange is used, and a number of those soldiers who we admire to no end. You know, Tom Healy, longtime dear friend of Bob and Yurt Live, he passed away a few months ago. His wife, Madeline, is in Colorado right now, and I can't wait to spend the day with Madeline, Cheryl, my mother, Connie, who runs the office here, Dominic, who's our producer. And Madeline will be working in the studio on Friday and will be fellowshipping. I can't wait. But I had the honor of officiating at Tom Healy's service at the National Cemetery in Fort Worth, Texas. And Tom fought, and they used Agent Orange, right, as a weapon. And soldiers from the Vietnam War got cancer, and many died, including from their cancer. So if you were a soldier in the Vietnam War and you got cancer, you assume your cancer is from Agent Orange, even though the vast majority of you would have gotten cancer anyway, because people who haven't fought in Vietnam or people who didn't get close to Agent Orange, they got cancer too. And so it's very difficult. It's extremely difficult to discern. Okay, well, and of course there's studies that attempt to find out, but let's say the people who fought in Vietnam have a cancer rate of 4% or 9% higher than the general public. Let's say that, 4% or 9% higher. So over time, you have 30,000 Vietnam vets who get cancer. What percentage of them will be convinced that it came from Agent Orange? All of them will presume that. And so no matter how much money is available to help with a need or a perceived need, it will never be enough. But there's something else. I said that I'm the Grinch who stole 9/11 compensation. There's something else. And if those reasons didn't get liberals angry, this next one will. And it's this: that the average American supports the social programs that are bankrupting the nation and robbing from our grandchildren, right? That's what we're doing. Our deficit spending, which the Republicans do more than the Democrats, right? Spending, so far, Trump is not done, so we don't know. But he's already accomplished, say, six-month periods where the federal spending was greater than any other six-month period in history, meaning he was outspending Obama. And the deficit, now when Obama was spending like a drunken sailor, we went on the air and pointed out during those years that, wow, Republican administrations have always outspent Democratic administrations, and that's, we went back as far as World War II. Always, they always outspend them, and that includes on social programs. That includes on social programs. They always outspend them. And with Obama, we said, please don't tell Obama what comes after a trillion. And how could the Republicans ever outspend Obama? But I would always add, you know, I have faith in the Republican Party. Somehow, Somehow, they'd probably pull it off. So if the average American supports the immoral social programs that we have, every social program is immoral because it violates God's enduring command, thou shalt not steal, and it produces systematic covetousness, coveting your neighbor's goods. Socialism destroys people from within. So if the average American advocates policies that bankrupt the country, and then that average American ends up, through no fault of his own, in a situation where he ends up being harmed, and now he wants the government to come up with the funds to make him whole at some level, or at least try to, and he is incensed because the government doesn't have untold billions to help everyone in his situation. He's incensed when he spent his whole life bankrupting the country. And you think that doesn't have a consequence? Or do you think that shouldn't have a consequence? Of course it should. So I'm the Grinch who stole 9/11 compensation. Let's now, we have only a few minutes left. Let's go to the audio of this pro-abort. This has been played on Fox News, all over the internet. And her name doesn't matter. This argument began being made over a decade ago by leading pro-aborts. We've addressed it on the show. Let's hear it.
We're facing a really terrifying attack on abortion in the US, where I live, in Northern Ireland and elsewhere. In the past, the strategies that our side has tended to use have included a kind of ceding of ground to our enemies. We tend to say that abortion is indeed very bad, but, or we say, luckily it's not killing. Luckily it's just a healthcare right. We have very little to lose at the moment when it comes to abortion, and I'm interested in winning radically. And I wonder if we could think about defending abortion as a right to stop doing gestational work. Abortion is, in my opinion, and I recognize how controversial this is, a form of killing. It is a form of killing that we need to be able to defend. I am not interested in where a human life starts to exist. I see the forms of making and unmaking each other as sort of continuous processes.
Stop the tape, stop the tape.
The other end.
So continuous, so she's part of that continuum, right? If making human beings is a continuous process and you could kill them along the line because it doesn't really matter when they become a human being. You know, when you're sitting on a tree branch and you're sawing the branch off and you forget that you're sitting on the branch that you're sawing, and then you finally get it weak enough and it breaks and you fall to your death. People so often provide the fuel for the fire that consumes them. And the only answer against these arguments for killing children, the only answer is provided in the shortest article ever written. I'll point you to it. It's at AmericanRTL.org/abortion.